Some people think the internet is a series of tubes. Some people think it's made of wires and lasers and some hats. Some people think it's stuck together with a load of glue. But they're all wrong because the internet is made of cats. The internet is made of cats. The internet is made of cats. Cats, 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 cats. The internet is made of cats. The internet was born in Japan 2001. There were not many cats, so bandwidth was not very high. To get the cats around the net, they had to keep them small. So they compressed kittens using the ancient art of bonsai. Although more kittens came online with each and every day, the connectivity and bandwidth of the net weren't great. Because the kitten numbers didn't grow as you would hope. As God kills a kitten every time he sees you masturbate. Because the internet is made of cats. The internet is made of cats. Cats, 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 cats. The internet is made of cats. The revolution came when lolcats harnessed humankind to create many cats with captions on that were quite mental. While death rates from a vengeful god stayed more or less the same, the growth in internet kittens soon became exponential. For a while it looked as though everything was just fine. With more cats in the network, things grew fast as fast could be. But soon the laws of physics started to bend with the strain, as the number of cats tended towards infinity. Because the internet is made of cats. Internet is made of cats. Cats, 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 cats. The internet is made of cats. The internet cat project kittens inspired by kittens. Recursive cat spiraled down to a singularity, which birthed the cat god powerful beyond imagination. Gormaru, who appeared obsessed with box idiocy, but despite looking like a fat cat moron who liked boxes, Maru was in fact manipulating both time and space. He summoned forth the dark one from beyond the deepest heart, the one who would be savior of the internet cat race. Because the internet is made of cats. The internet is made of cats. Cats, 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 cats. The internet is made of cats. The internet is made of cats. The internet is made of cats. Cats, 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 cats. The internet is made of cats. And that's a fact.
Hey everybody, Thursday night and that's a fact. We're here again. I think this is our last show.
Our last show from San Francisco.
Going out with a bang. and I just woke up.
Not from like sleeping at night.
No,
you did things during the day.
We went out. There was the Wednesday balls meeting.
Bay Area liquid loathers.
Yeah. So didn't eat much and started drinking martinis real early and went on and on.
Yeah, we had planned to like go from like 5:30 to like 7:30 or so, and then
it was fun.
And then it was like midnight.
Yeah, and then there were like dudes, like literally just dudes throwing marijuana at you everywhere you go, which is weird.
Weird.
but yeah, sorry. Just stupid hungover, and luckily we didn't have anything to do.
Oh yeah,
we had to get up really early and go to Berkeley to hang out with Robert Ashley from the Life Well Wasted podcast. He interviewed us and took us out for pizza, which made me sick.
not intentionally.
I managed to rally a little bit in the morning. I got up and I pounded some potion of Cure Light hangover, and I took some. I took some Advils, and the headache was under control for most of the interview. I got to feeling a little shitty by the end of it. He's probably gonna, like, because he does that whole This American Life thing where everything has to be really sad, he's probably gonna paint us as like lonely nerds that are too obsessed with work to get along with women in a meaningful way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. I'm excited to hear how he'll do that.
Yeah, no, me too. Yeah, so given the production schedule of that show, expect us to be on it in 2 or 3 years.
Well, not maybe one. 2011.
Q1 2011. He's shooting for a simultaneous release with Star Wars: The Old Republic.
Yeah.
So he was super cool. He was nice.
Yeah.
He was fun to hang out with and
good
talk
dude.
To. His apartment is they're building an acupuncture clinic underneath his apartment. So he'll probably get more relaxed in the future. He'll get super stressed out
whenever he tries to interview people and there's like hammering in the background.
That was pretty cool. It got to the point where it was like seriously like there was somebody looking in the window and just fucking with us, like telling this dude when to hammer, because we would stop talking until the hammering stopped, and then as soon as we would start talking again, the hammering would start again. It was too much for our fledgling nation to bear. So yeah, that was and then I came home and went back to sleep, because fuck. Nothing like a bunch of train rides and walking around, and finally decided to be fucking blindingly sunny today for once.
Yeah.
Oh, and then I remember that we haven't started working on the item of the month yet.
Well, okay.
No, we did. We basically sat down and hashed it out before we immediately drank all those brain cells to death last night. So, yeah. What else have we done? What have we done since the Tuesday? Oh, I don't know if you wanted to share any of your impressions about our Alameda day.
Oh, I mean, it was awesome. The whole day was, like, super long. We went up to the King Tut exhibit. You probably already recounted this
I totally forgot. I forgot about
the King Tut exhibit
completely. Yeah. Jesus, that was a long day. Yeah.
So we started off the day by going to the King Tut exhibit.
No,
it's a traveling
the same day.
Show, I guess, that's in San Francisco right now. And it was kind of cool. It was... I feel like Egypt is trying really hard to get a lot of their cultural artifacts back, and so I feel like the show is not crazy interesting, but it was kind of interesting to see some of the stuff.
There was a mummy that we didn't exactly... The only real mummy they had there was one that we didn't really understand what was going on, because it was labeled as a 5-month-old stillborn baby.
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
And, like, I don't know if that means, like, a premature baby, because it, you know, it's hard to tell, because the mummification doesn't do much.
It looked really developed for...
It looked like an alien. It looked like a gray.
Weird. Yeah.
So King Tut totally had some alien babies, like in Stargates.
Right.
The thing, it was kind of disappointing. Like, there was a lot of cool stuff in it, and then it suddenly, like, it was like, all right, we're building up to this last gallery, there's nothing cool in there.
There was sort of a video projection of the inside of the sarcophagus, or the inside of the, I guess, yeah, the inside of the, like, mummy wrappings or whatever, and there was a big error message from the projector that, like, the lamp
yeah,
needed
the
to change.
The bulb needed to be changed, yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't really covering anything up, but, like...
It was took away a lot of the mystique of the particular exhibit.
I hadn't realized the floor was there were these metal plates in the floor. I didn't know this until I actually read the thing. There were like these designs on the floor that were represented the sizes of the different boxes that he was in.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because he was in like a box and a box, like box and a box and a box.
Eight,
there were like
eight or ten layers.
Seven
yeah.
boxes, I thought. And then, you know, there were some things in there that were, like, buried inside the box with him. Like, this eagle thing and some necklace and, I don't know.
Jewelry of some kind and stuff.
There was some sort of game board.
Yeah, there were a couple things that were pretty interesting that they didn't go into a lot of detail. But, like, a little tiny, like, travel game set. Like, something you'd have in a car with little checkers and stuff.
Yeah, a little ivory checker. Box with a drawer on the side of it and some pawns.
Yeah. But and so there were games on both sides, but then it didn't show the other side, which was depressing. I feel like that's a situation where you put like it on a glass shelf and let people see it from the bottom or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I guess nobody cares about games like we care about games.
Yeah.
There's like a chest with hieroglyphics on it. There's a lot of stuff with hieroglyphics on it.
Yeah.
We learned about King Tut's name.
The cartouche.
Yeah.
He had both a throne name and a.
Yeah, did we figure out what the throne name was?
At some point I read what it was, but I didn't know.
I told you guys not to talk to me while I'm pooping.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, that's Egypt for you. And then we went to Alameda and we drank a lot and had a lot of fun. The distillery, the St. George's Distillery, is kind of awesome. They're super enthusiastic when they give you the tastings, which was interesting. Like, the demeanor of the people who sort of actually talks about the liqueurs.
It would be very easy for that to become very annoying.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, it's like that, because, like, the guy who gave us the tour of the Winchester Mystery House was super enthusiastic, too, but
and
it was just like,
yeah.
Shut the fuck up. Jesus.
She was responding to our questions, though, so I feel like the girl at the distillery who gave us the little
she was very bouncy and wearing a lot of makeup.
Yeah.
And made the same joke several times, which always bothers me.
Well,
Can't throw it away, it's alcohol abuse. We don't want to pour it out, it's alcohol abuse. If you don't drink alcohol, it's alcohol abuse. And then later on, I was gonna call it back, right? Because she was talking about this batch of rye that they had to throw out because it smelled like rotten eggs. But then she didn't stop talking long enough for me to be like, ah, that's alcohol abuse.
Wow.
By the time the space in the conversation opened up and I could have said it, it wouldn't have been funny anymore.
Huh. We went to a sushi place, which was sort of unremarkable, but nice.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
What a day. It was a long day. We ate food.
We did eat food. This was still that Saturday in Alameda. And then we went from the sushi place to Forbidden Island, which was sort of a neat tiki bar.
Yeah, it was a cool tiki bar. Tiki bar.
And then from there to the Pinball Museum, which was cool. I probably would have spent more time there if it was not late at night and I was not exhausted.
At the Pinball Museum?
Yeah, I think I would have played a lot more of the games.
I think I would have preferred to go to the Pinball Museum without having been drinking.
Well, I feel like for a lot of people it is only fun when you have been drinking.
I see.
And I feel like for us it would have been fun at any point.
Yeah.
So
no, I guess that's true. There were a lot of pinball machines.
Yeah. I did not realize that, like, some of the earliest pinball machines didn't have flippers, right? It was just a ball in a box that would sort of bounce down like Peggle more than anything. And watching the sort of development of pinball over the past 100 years by actually seeing the machines themselves was really neat.
It's weird that it seems like the kind of fundamental tropes of pinball developed in the late 60s and then just kind of never went away. Like, in the beginning there was some experimentation on, like, where do we put the flippers, how do the flippers work, what's going on here, but then the, like...
In the 70s they started doing double flipper sets and stuff like
that. Sure, yeah, like another set of flippers on the top or whatever. I mean, they definitely got more elaborate and they got, you know, like, the light... Like, I feel like... As, like, the lighting and stuff got smaller, they started putting a lot more of it in, right? And you know, moving on the back end from, like, the rotary score reels to digital readouts to then just a screen, you know, like, the sort of red LED screens. But the, like, two flippers at the bottom with the drain in between them, two channels on the left and two channels on the right, one of each leads down to the flipper, one of which leads to the drain, and the like rubber band kicker on the interior of that curve. Like, that just seemed to appear in the late 60s, and then that's just kind of what every pinball game.
There were a couple of variations. There was one that had, like, a little catch between the flippers that you could, if you got the ball over a button, it would, like, lock it up, and then if it went over a different button, it would drop down.
Oh, yeah, the gate. Some pinball machines still have those.
Yeah.
Those seem to be super popular in, like, video game pinball machines.
Oh, yeah,
Like the thing that sort of plugs the drain.
When I was a kid, I played way more video game pinball machines than I played real pinball machines.
Yeah.
So it was different. Like, I'd only played a handful of actual pinball games, I think, in my life. Because I always lost balls so fast that I always felt like...
It was a huge waste of a quarter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so this was really, really refreshing to go someplace and just have all the machines unlocked and free.
Yeah.
So that I could just play them over and over and over again. And actually, you know, I wasn't getting good, but I definitely got a lot better over the course of the evening.
It is kind of amazing the extent to which it becomes a game of skill to me.
People who are serious can play an hour on a single quarter, you know, I think.
Yeah.
I've heard stories of that, at least, you know.
And it's weird. You know, this guy was talking about how he, just over the course of a couple of games, he'd be like, you know, you just start to learn the vagaries of the weird way that the balls roll in particular spaces. And you know, and I don't know. I mean, every once in a while, I will just fucking launch a ball, and there's nothing that I can do. It just flies out, bounces around, and then falls straight between the flippers. Like, and that, like, every once in a while, I'll start a game of pinball like that and just be like, fucking pinball, man. You know?
There was a couple of games had the skill shot where it's like something that if you just give it just the right amount of force on the launch, it'll go into a separate channel and do something else entirely.
Yep.
And that, I think that was kind of neat. I don't know when that started.
Yeah, there was, I feel like I played some computer pinball. There was a Epic Mega Games, I think, PC pinball game that I feel like the theme of the game was you were like building some like girl robot.
Huh.
And it was freeware, and it was like a lost leader for a collection of pinball machines that they had, and I played the shit out of that.
Huh.
On the PC. That was have two screens.
Bounce it up into the top screen or whatever.
Yeah. It usually starts in the top screen. You get a set of flippers there, so it's like, yeah, you lose the ball, but then you're definitely not going to lose it on the bottom screen. You know, like the NES pinball game, just pinball, was, I feel like, fairly rare. Like, I had it, and I never knew anyone else who had it. It was always a weird thing whenever somebody would come to my house, like, whoa, pinball, what's that? And then, you know, it was just, like, pretty fun.
Huh.
And it was one of the very early, like, I feel like it was one of the launch NES titles.
That's interesting.
It definitely had that old school, like the same title screen as every NES game back in the day. You know, right. Like every game had the same music. It had the same music as like pro wrestling, like the title music, and
because
NES,
that was
NES
the
baseball game. It was like any
sound
sports
of the
game.
Loader code.
Yeah, any sports game. Yeah, that's weird that their loader code resolved to like a kind of a march. So, cool. But I really liked what video game pinball machines could do, where it's like, oh, you sunk your ball into this hole with this certain conditions met, so now we're gonna go to this screen where you're playing a game of Breakout with the pinball, and like, you know, like just the cool mini games and stuff. There was also a Game Boy pinball game called Revenge of the Gator, which I really liked a lot. I played a ton of that.
Like the original Game Boy?
Yeah. That was just one of the games that I had for the Game Boy that I liked the most of any of them. Like all the ones that I got would get super excited about would end up like, you know, like the Castlevania Adventure or whatever, which wasn't all that good. So it's like, oh sweet, a new Castlevania game, it's gonna be awesome, and then it just wasn't very fun. But then something like, you know, I played a ton of Alleyway. Like, I'm not that big of a like fan of like the Breakout or Arkanoid really, but I don't know, that kinda got me into it.
Huh.
Although that style of game I got better at. I didn't get better at it. Here's the problem. I was terrible at it with a controller, right? Like, the Atari one, I was just god-awful at, and I think that put me off of games like that for a long time. Arkanoid was so fucking hard in the arcade. It was really fascinating to me. Like, I really liked the, like, sort of Breakout Plus aspect of it, you know? It's like, oh, there's like, enemies flying around that can fuck with it. Like, oh, enemies for you to kill, but then I realized later, no, that's just enemies that make your ball bounce in fucked up ways and you die. You know, and then, like, the power-up where you get to shoot lasers, which is, like, fucking finally, I'm, like, actually breaking these goddamn bricks the way that I want to. But it wasn't until I played, like, DX Ball on the PC.
I don't know what that is.
Which is, like, a freeware Arkanoid clone, basically. But you're using the mouse to move the paddle, and it's just, you know, like, so you can basically move. Like, being good at using the mouse means you're good at positioning the paddle, and right. It's like, all right, now I'm good at this game, like... DX Ball was fun, and I think maybe, I don't remember if it was DX Ball that I played or DX Ball 2, that there was just, like, we got into it in the office that I worked in and just played tons and tons of it, trying to beat each other's scores, which is, like, something that hardly ever comes up with me and other people.
Yeah, you're not super score competitive in general.
Yeah. And partly it's because I can't be score competitive with you, because a game that we're both going to play seriously, you are just going to get way better at than I am.
I'll play more time on it, yeah.
So, I mean, so then that's not fun. And I like to always lose.
I feel like there are games that you're just better at than I am, in general.
Been playing the shit out of Sword and Poker.
Yeah, for the iPhone.
Yeah, Riff told us about it, just kind of in passing, and like we've both just like been kind of obsessive. Having spent a lot of time on trains here has made this more mobile gaming-friendly environment. Although I get a little carsick on the BART. If I'm trying to pay attention. I don't think that I would ever be able to read.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah. Listen to podcasts, though.
On a regular train, I don't have a problem.
I feel like the BART is constantly turning. Either accelerating or decelerating. It's turning. Yeah. It's dark. So you have, like, no ability to look out the window and sort of get your bearings and have some idea of how fast you're going. Like, you're relying on very few inputs. And, like, when it goes into the bay, it's, like, just sort of, like, crazy ear-poppy.
Yeah.
I never did try that Poppy Jasper beer that I'd never heard of until I came here, and everybody seems to really like it. I get put off of ambers. If somebody says, oh, it's an amber, I'm like, it's going to be gross like Fat Tire. It's like whatever that kind of
like
hops
amber
is.
Bock?
That they, I do like amber Bock, but
it's not really amber.
Yeah, it's not really amber
really
or a Bock. Yeah. Same reason I like, I don't know, horseradish.
Do you talk about the Exploratorium?
I don't think so. I'm not sure whether I did or not. I
on
think maybe,
Sunday, we went to the Exploratorium.
That was the day after?
Yeah, we had lunch. We had lunch with Australopithecus.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then we all went to the Exploratorium, and it was one of the coolest places I've been in a long time. I think we spent 4 hours there, 3 or 4 hours there,
yep.
And I feel like I saw maybe a third of what they had to show me, and Jick and I were like relating stories of the favorite stuff that we saw there, and we had just not seen any of the same stuff at all. And so I like there's just a ton of stuff that sounds really cool that I didn't even know was there. So I'm kind of excited to someday go back.
Yeah. This city rules.
Yeah. Yeah, San Francisco's kind of awesome. And then I guess Sunday night we also went to I went to some pickup classical performance in a cafe.
I went to a hookah bar and then went out drinking with Pez Boy and some folks. We were talking to somebody who worked for a company that does mobile phone transactions for games, like basically like microtransactions via text message.
Instead of PayPal, you would just text a message on your phone to a certain number, and then they'd send you a text back to confirm, do this thing, and then it would show up as a on your phone bill.
Yeah.
And we're like, well, that sounds interesting.
A handful of people had asked us in the past, like, hey, I don't have a credit card, I can't use PayPal in the country that I live in, can you make it so I can give you money by text message? And I'm like, I don't know.
And so we asked sort of what the cuts were, and the phone company takes 40%. 40%.
Yeah.
I guess
the different carriers take different amounts.
Right.
But
it's probably not that variable. Like,
yeah.
It's probably a 30-50% or whatever, and they average it to 40. So, like, in order for us to sort of be equivalent in terms of what we get, we'd have to charge like $20 for Mr. Accessory.
Not quite 20.
But
like
close.
Like, yeah, like $18.50 or something is what it would end up.
It'd be weird.
Would be weird. Yeah, I think that, you know, we just won't do it. Like, basically, he talked about, you know, we were like, well, you know, that kind of sucks because, you know, we already do enough to, like, discourage people from giving us money, right? Like, and if somebody had the option to use PayPal or use their mobile phone, if it was just going to be the same amount, if it was just going to be $10 across the board, you know, every person that decided to use the phone instead of using PayPal, it's just like giving us like, you know, $4 less for no reason, right?
Right.
It's just like throwing money away, because I consider giving money to the phone company throwing money away. I don't know why.
Yeah,
it's just needless, right?
If
there was an opportunity for them to send the money in some other way, it is just needless loss on our part,
right?
And then it's super weird to have it cost more to do it that way, because then it's... So what he was saying was,
you provide a disincentive of even like, you know, 10 or 20%.
Yeah, they say you get a 10% reduction in whatever you get, but that doesn't really work because we can't give you like 9/10 of a Mr. A, right? Although that'd be a funny item.
That would be kind of funny.
So you could use it to buy like that last bit of a gallon of gas.
Right.
It's exactly 1 gallon of gas. But yeah, so it was just like, well, fuck, you know, like this was a briefly interesting idea to entertain, and then it was just really quickly shat all over by the bells.
And I feel like it is something that will become more reasonable over time as it catches on. Yeah. So it's something we can re-examine in a year or so.
Yeah, I don't know how long.
2 years.
It's weird that this guy does this. It's like he's the roommate of one of the guys we went to the Grand Canyon with, or the former roommate of the former roommate of one of the guys that we went to the Grand Canyon with, and yeah, he just happens to work for a company that handles microtransactions for online games.
Everybody does something involving games here. The whole city. it's like the game Nexus.
Game Nexus.
Nexus.
We didn't get to hang out with Jonathan Blow.
Yeah, he dissed us.
We were blowed off.
But we'll come back.
Yeah.
At some point.
He's mean.
And then on Tuesday, we had a lunch meeting with Kellum Vore and his co-worker at Play First. That was cool. Kellum Vore... I think I'm going to ask Kellum Vore to do this. There's there is a like Alliance from Hell in clan contest going on next week, and so I think I will ask him to ask the contestants to try to be cognizant of like what they are doing in real life to play KOL,
right?
And like what takes them the most time? What are ways that they could imagine reducing their real life time burden for playing, you know, optimally or near optimally, and let's just at least get some data so that maybe we can sort of focus our efforts. I mean,
my impression there is that they are all using Mafia.
Well,
so the things that take time are not, you know, if they say, oh, I spend a lot of time recasting buffs or whatever,
right,
and we say, all right, well, let's add something to the native interface that makes it easier to recast buffs, that doesn't actually accomplish anything, right? I mean, maybe it makes the native interface, you know, so like I think about the like Grease Monkey scripts that I want to sort of build into the native interface. Like, I'm definitely going to do the recasting of a buff from the effect readout on the character pane, right? Like, that just makes a lot of sense,
right?
And I think that having a thing where like With C.D. Moyer and his ability to do like client side stuff very
really
easily,
sexy,
that
Java,
that I would JavaScript. Not, because I hate JavaScript, and so I very rarely want to do something that involves like something appearing when you mouse over something, because it's like every fucking time I do it, I have to go find somewhere else in the game that it's been done and see what's wrong with, you know, see, like try and copy that code and then like try and figure out what's wrong with it. I just hate JavaScript basically. So like the ability to have a recast or recast multiple link only pop up when you mouse over the effect in the char pane, like that's great, like that, because
right,
it doesn't add any clutter. It is not like a bunch of intimidating widgets that I don't like, you know.
Yeah, I think our sort of with Xenophobe, our tendency was to put little notices next to things to click on, you know, if there was something that like a little question mark or whatever in the account menu was like something that I feel like he would have done instead of getting any kind of JavaScript stuff going on.
Yeah.
And C.D. Moyer does a lot more sort of subtle isn't quite the right word, but polished interface stuff.
And what's awesome is that it is totally different than everything that came before, so the game is it's just
more of a hodgepodge.
Hodgepodge, yeah. Like,
But
I suppose it's charming.
So here's the thing, though. Like, maybe it, with some analysis, maybe with people really thinking about it, we'll identify some areas that will help everybody or that aren't currently things that Grease Monkey or Mafia can do. I mean, to some extent, I'd like the game to be easier to play for everybody.
Right.
But for the casual people, I feel like they're going to put in sort of the amount of time that they want to and not feel bad about not being optimal. So the people that are really, I don't know, hurting their lives by having to spend more time than really seems justified playing KOL, I'd really like to sort of make an effort to try to make that better.
Yeah.
Because, and here's the problem, at least from my point of view, I do think it is difficult for us, from a design perspective, to come up with content that is interesting, has a meaningful impact on, you know, the speed game or whatever, and doesn't have at least some aspect of like micromanagement.
Yeah, I mean anything that you use, you got to click on, right?
Well, like, there's anything you got to use, you got to click on, but like you also, you know, having that be limited times per day is something you have to now keep track of,
right?
And then, you know, if we do things like, you know, a certain number of turns later, like all of these things are ways to make something sort of more balanced in the gameplay, because the game is a turn-based game, so either we have to limit it by turns or, you know, by days or whatever. and so that's a lot of things to keep track of, and, you know, as we keep adding more and more of those things, it gets, you know, it is overwhelming. And so, you know, I don't know that we can avoid doing that, at least to some extent, for the foreseeable future. So if we can eliminate other sources of real-life time management, then maybe that won't seem as bad.
Yeah.
So, and maybe, you know, and maybe that's one of the ways in which maybe we can figure out some way to incorporate. I mean, that's another thing that we definitely want to add, is like the ability to specify timers.
Right. But I just wonder if adding the ability to specify timers, in, so like basically the idea was, you know, probably this would just be completely hidden, right? Like they would just in a chat command.
Right.
You would be able to, you know, say, all right, I want a timer, I want a turn countdown to pop up in the character pane.
Right.
And you know, so you'd use the Heebold array, and then you would type, you know, / timer Heebold 350 or whatever. Right, and then it would just show. It would just pop up in the left, and it would decrement, and so you'd be able to see, you know, like next semi rare, whatever. Like when you figured out what your next semi rare was,
right?
You know, setting a timer for it so that you didn't miss it. But I think that Mafia already does that. So
right, but I mean, maybe we can do it in a way that is better, or you know, more integrated, so that it I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I just
worry that
that everything that we can easily do has already been done by the players, and therefore there's no easy solution to this.
The real answer is like shit, like make it so minus MP stuff works from your inventory, right?
Yeah, and that's a tough one. There are things that we're just gonna have to say no to because of like narrative constraints, right? Like, you know, we don't want you to get into a store if you're not wearing the outfit that the store requires, because that just doesn't make narrative sense.
Right.
You know, I mean, I guess the option, potentially an option that we could consider, which I don't think that would be very happy about, would be like an account menu option that was like disabled narrative continuity or something. Right.
Right.
You know.
I mean, you know, there is that precedent, right, where with the jewel-eyed wizard hat, you know, we give the extra buff duration
from inventory?
From inventory.
Do we?
Yeah.
Huh.
But, like, having to check all of that, you know...
Yeah. You potentially create even more sort of lag, I guess.
Yeah.
And that's another way. I mean, that's another way we can reduce the real-world time, is speeding up the game in general.
Yep.
And hopefully that's something we're going to be doing real soon now with...
Yeah.
When we get back to Arizona and start swapping out servers.
Yep. I'm really curious as to what's going to happen on that. I'm curious as to whether or not, you know, we're going to end up with a situation where we have one nice fast web server and a bunch of old web servers, and I don't know what's
I don't know
what that's going to do.
We'll swap in some other new web servers.
Because I feel like what'll happen is people will catch on, like, oh man, WWW7 is the fast server, so everyone will log on to that, and then it won't be the fast server anymore.
Well, we can
then
do
all the other
some
servers
load
are
balancing
faster,
and it'll be fine.
Yeah. Load balancing.
Yeah. So that was Tuesday. That was actually a really interesting discussion on a number of facets. Because we also talked about sort of our database architecture, and from the sounds of it, like, if we had had sort of a serious database person from the very beginning, we probably would have structured things a little differently.
It would be hugely different, I think, if we were not bound to the...
vagaries of history.
Yeah, I mean, the mistakes of the past, right? Like, that is our deal.
Yeah.
We were talking to Robert Ashley about that to some extent, like the just sort of like weird early decisions and the extent to which they've defined vast swaths of what we've spent our lives thinking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, for me, like some of the, you know, the fundamental ones are like the name of the game was so kind of arbitrary.
Yeah.
That I wonder how much then the particular choice of noun in Kingdom of Loathing like
puts some people off.
It makes,
attracts
makes
some
yeah,
people.
Like what has that done to the number of people that have played the game? You know, like would you have, if it had been Kingdom of Bunnies, would that have would we have more or fewer players if it were the exact same game otherwise, right?
Yep.
I have no idea. I think bunnies probably would not have attracted our particular
sure
market or whatever.
And I think, you know, like Kingdom of Fistfuck would have been, you know,
decidedly worse. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and the thing is, like, settling on a kind of a PG-13 tone was kind of arbitrary.
Yeah.
Too, right? I mean, like, the, you know, it was so unserious in the beginning that, like,
it could have easily
could have gone in any number of directions.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was interesting when Secret Society Wars went decidedly R-rated route.
Right? Yeah.
You know, that's a totally different kind of way to approach it.
I haven't popped back into Forum Wars. I mean, I'd like to.
Didn't you play the third episode a little bit though?
I couldn't. I was too weak. So I think I need to grind some levels.
Wait, your character wasn't powerful enough to even start it?
Yeah, apparently.
Wow.
Unless I'm just missing something.
Huh.
Or I mean, it could be that I've just forgotten. Like, oh right, I forgot that I actually needed consumables in the end game of the last one, right? Or it's also one of those weird things where like you could keep leveling up after you'd beat the game, right? And maybe everybody else did, and I didn't.
Wow.
Right? Because I had level capped between episode 1 and 2, and it's like entirely possible that they just sort of looked
assume
at the data,
that everybody
yeah,
else did.
Looked at the data huh. and figured out.
That's interesting. I didn't realize that.
But yeah,
tomorrow's gonna be cool.
Lunch
at Twitter.
Oh yeah. No, I forgot about that. Us Thrur Wund was like, hey, we work at Twitter, and we like, yeah, well, you should come see us. I'm like, fucking sweet.
Yeah.
Where is it?
It's downtown.
Oh yeah. Cool. Yeah, and then aren't we going to dinner at your frat boyfriend's house?
My fraternity brother and his wife will be hosting.
And don't
a
they have like 100
party.
Kids?
They have, a baby, I think.
Like 100 babies.
100 babies. Hmm. Yeah.
You guys should check out Axe Cop. It's pretty good.
Axe Cop.
Yeah, the actual site of it got taken down, but the dude, because from like exceeding bandwidth limits, I think. But the dude, it's like this 30-year-old dude whose 5-year-old brother writes comics, and then he draws them.
Whoa.
Yeah. And they're pretty funny. They're really charming in a way that only like
a genuine
5-year-old would pull off. Like there's some. Yeah. It's the story of Axe Cop and Flute Cop, and now we have a gang of dinosaurs to beat up.
That's cool.
Yeah, no, it's but then Flute Cop gets some dinosaur blood splattered on him, and he feels strange, and then becomes Dinosaur Warrior. And then later, Honey gets turned into an avocado, but then he gets a unicorn horn, so it's all good.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's kind of awesome.
Yeah. There's like these sort of one page, sort of dense, you know, episodes. Yeah. I don't know. It was pretty funny.
I hear Hollywood's optioning that to make it into a movie.
Yeah, Axe Cop. He found the perfect fireman's axe and decided to become Axe Cop. And when he was born, he already had a mustache.
Really?
Yeah.
Cool.
His parents named him Axie. It was weird. His name was Axe Cop before he discovered the axe and became Axe Cop, right?
Yeah. Huh.
The kids don't think about these things. I hope when he says that they'd be happy to have us for lunch at the office that they're
wow.
not actually going to eat us
yeah.
to power
did
Twitter's
not,
server. Like,
did not think about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, like, does Twitter's web server, is it running on, like, some sort of, like, a rancor?
The blood of the unclean.
Yeah.
Problems.
Audrey Hartburn says, this sucks, I just spent 100 adventures in the Palindome and never once encountered a somewhat milfish governor of Alaska. Would you have sex with Sarah Palin?
No.
We've established that you won't have sex with Sarah Vowell.
Right.
Would you ever have sex with anyone named Sarah?
Yes.
Okay. Would you have the kind of sex that they wanted? committed long-term partnership sex.
Right, right. Wow.
What? What about who else? Who? What other famous people are named Sarah? But Sarah Connor. She's fictional.
Yeah.
You can't have sex with a fictional character.
You can try. There are like Japanese dudes that marry
pillows.
Anime characters. Huh. I wonder if it's like a 1-to-1 correspondence. Like you pick an anime character, and if you're the first guy to like pick that, that's you're the only dude that gets to marry that character.
Huh.
Or not.
That's
maybe
a good question. I don't know.
Maybe not.
Yeah, and then suddenly, like, if some other dude beats off to a picture of your imaginary wife, does that count as infidelity on her part?
Oh, wow.
That'd be rough.
That is rough.
Because how do you stop... I mean, like, a Japanese dude beating off is like, you know, is like a truck.
Have you seen Lars and the Real Girl?
No, I've seen like a minute or two of it. I've heard it's really good.
It is really good. It's I own a copy of it if you want to watch it at some point.
Yes.
But maybe we should wait until the iPad comes out, and then we can watch all our movies on the iPad.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that. It could be really neat, but I am worried that because it is not a real computer, because it is like just sort of a enlarged iPhone, that it's going to be really frustrating. Because what you'll want is you'll want it to have all the functionality of a laptop, and it's just not going to have all of that functionality.
Right.
You know, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I really just need a handful of apps, or you know, for 90% of the time.
Or a handful of apes.
Yeah, an ape full of hands. So yeah, we've got some questions.
Yeah. Sorry that I feel so disgusting. I don't know why I'm apologizing. You probably couldn't even tell, except for me just going ugh, because I'm just hungry. I haven't eaten anything. I barely ate anything yesterday. Oh, man, we tried to go to the Better Banh Mi place that that guy recommended that's across the street from the Lee's sandwiches that we accidentally stumbled onto yesterday. Maybe they set that up on purpose.
I don't think so. I think it just happens to be a place that he likes to go, and Olive was the bar that was near there.
I see. Yeah. So we tried to go to Saigon Sandwiches and get the Banh Mi that was supposedly better than the Banh Mi at Lee's, but the woman was like, no more. It was like a half an hour before they closed. We were like, what the fuck? What the fuck, Asian lady?
Yeah, it's weird that... I thought there were laws about, like, actually being required to continue to provide service for the whole entirety of your posted hours.
Maybe they ran out of bread, right?
Yeah, like, and you can't really hold them.
You can't have a law against running out of bread.
Yeah. I mean, you can.
You could get...
You could fine them for running out of bread.
You could get Chris Cornell to steal some for you from the mouths of decadence.
Yeah. But, so then we ended up going to Lee's Sandwiches here, and it was... freaking amazing.
Yeah,
because they've had to step up their game because of this other Banh Mi place across the street.
Yeah, they had to compete with another Banh Mi place. Whereas, there was seriously, like, the sandwich had three times the meat and vegetables as the equivalent Banh Mi at Lee's.
Lee's in Mesa.
At Lee's in Phoenix, yeah. I don't know. You know, I like the original so much still, right?
I don't know. I was...
It's a little soggier because of the extra meat, right? Like, and I think I would probably elect for something in the middle of the
two.
Okay,
sure.
Maybe there is a Lee's Sandwiches in Las Vegas. Something sort of between Phoenix and San Francisco, where they have twice as much meat as Phoenix, but two-thirds as much meat as San Francisco.
Right.
Same price.
$3. Yeah, $3 for just way more food than... $3 should really be able to buy.
Yep.
Although, you know, I think about fast food. I think about the amount of food that $3 gets you at, like, Taco Bell or McDonald's, and it's comparable, probably.
Yeah, you could get 1.5 McGangbangs for $3.
Right.
I kind of want one of those.
I really don't.
Really?
No.
Well, good.
No. I mean, besides the fact that I haven't eaten at McDonald's in, like, 10 or 15 years or whatever. But
there's too much bread.
In a McGangbang?
Yeah.
You don't like bread in general.
That's true.
So it was especially weird last night when you asked me for bread.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
I forgot. I even ate a piece of bread.
Yeah.
Why didn't I eat?
I don't know. I don't know. What? Like, I went and got more food because I was like, I need to fill up my stomach with something other than alcohol.
Yeah, I was like, I need to fill up my stomach with something other than the alcohol I drank earlier. I know, I'll use some different and new alcohol.
Yeah, you also kept switching drinks. Like, I kind of stuck to one particular kind of beer and a glass of whiskey through the whole night, and you were all over the place.
I had a martini, and then I had some whiskey, and then mostly beer.
But you had a bunch of different kinds of beer.
That doesn't matter.
Okay.
Yeah, it probably does. Yeah. Ugh, God. Never again. I'm never going to touch the stuff again. This is my vow.
Right.
Yeah. No, I know. You can't believe. You can't believe a damn thing I say. Golgothica wrote, "We bow before CDM and his mighty powers of making interface updates."
Yes.
Yes. That is the truth. We all do. Yar writes, "What is your opinion on Mallbots? Do you have a problem with them at all?" I think that they are inevitable.
I would, in general, prefer a world without Mallbots. But I don't know that there's anything we can do. Yeah. Mallbots that use up too much bandwidth will
be summarily executed.
Yeah, we'll at least attract my ire.
I wonder if C.D. Moyer has talked to the
community at large,
the bot writing community, about the API that he has developed.
I don't know. Yeah, we're trying to all sorts of different tacts and sort of helping reduce lag, giving the people that do use bots better hooks into information so that they don't have to
screen scrape all the time.
Screen scrape on the expensive queries or expensive scripts. Yeah.
Screen scrape.
We are we're really kind of just hurting, I think, from this month. I'm kind of worn down.
Yeah. I think about, like, I'm going to go back to Phoenix and just, like, sit down. That's what I think about. I want to go and I want to sit down for like a week. But I can't, you know, we got to go back, and then, like, I'm really going to want to get the shit down to the data center.
Yeah.
And I'm a little worried about that. I'm worried that we're going to get there and it's going to turn out we need more power. You know, I don't think that we are, but then, like, what if it just starts doing weird shit where I plug one of these in and then all the other servers start shutting down,
yeah,
right?
Like, that freaks me out.
At the very least, only some of the web servers would shut down if that happened, right? And then maybe they'll come back up.
Yeah.
Maybe when you turn one of these web servers off, it will come back on without the memory controller being throwing a fatal BIOS error. Also, what the fuck are we going to do with that? What are we going to do with the old Dub 6?
Take it home.
Frame it.
Yeah. The first piece of server hardware that died on us.
Have a funeral for it in the yard.
I feel like most of it is probably totally working and totally serviceable.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder if that's a thing. Like, I wonder... There's that place where you can donate old hardware, right?
Right.
And it's
would
a thing
they take
like
Rack Mountain servers?
It's a thing like... They'll take anything. They'll take anything.
Oh.
I'm thinking I can also donate, like, my broken sets of 5.1 speakers and stuff. Every set of 5.1 speakers that I've ever had has broken.
Has fallen off of a shelf to just try to commit suicide.
Destroying my cabinets in my Lego room where I was storing them. That was a mess.
You had heard some sort of giant...
Yeah, it freaked
like
me the fuck out. I was doing laundry. I was, like, in my closet, like, hanging clothes up. And I heard this really, like... I was like, what the fuck? Like, it was like... I felt like a tree had fallen on the house or something, and I, like, looked all around. I was freaked out because it was the middle of the night, and I was, like, there by myself. I'm like, what's going on? And I just didn't find anything. And I'm like, well, okay, guess I'll go back to doing laundry, only nervous. And then a few days later, I realized that what had happened is a shelf had collapsed in my Lego room, which is, like, not attached to the rest of the house, so I hadn't gone out there in my sweep.
Yeah, it was hard to attach the Legos to the outside of the house.
Yeah.
So it's just a freestanding room made out of Legos.
Yeah, because like I was hoping that I could get like stucco nubs.
Right.
But it didn't work.
Those don't exist.
It's really hard to make stucco that precisely and that small.
Right.
Right.
That would be kind of awesome if your Lego room actually were made out of Legos.
It would. I could probably if I sold everything else that I own, I could buy enough Legos to line the walls in Legos. I could make a pattern.
I think you could probably buy enough Legos to line the walls for...
I think that would cost tens
of thousands. $1,000.
You think a couple thousand? I don't think so.
If you were buying in bulk, you could probably get a deal.
I don't know that you can. I think it's like 10 cents a brick.
Regardless of the size of the brick?
Oh, I don't know.
Because then you just get a brick the size of the wall.
Oh, yeah. Cool. Problem solved. That brick is an entire Harry Potter castle.
Right.
Yep, so that's what my walls look like. But I would want to make some art in it, so it would be like a lot of work.
It would be a lot of work.
It would be, yeah.
Lego murals would be kind of neat.
Yeah. Doing like a self-portrait. You could do that, I think, right? Can't you submit a photograph and then...
I'm sure there's some service set up, even a
third-party thing that's just like, all right, here's what you need to bulk order from Lego to make this.
That'd I'm kind of cool. excited to see what Creation Riff made. He made like some sort of custom
those,
Lego
those
set.
Walkers. You haven't looked at his website?
No.
Those spider bot things. Seems cool.
Oh.
I guess it's super expensive to order. Like you can,
it's self-publishing Lego sets.
Yeah, it's
though.
Crazy that you can do it. It's crazy that they let people do that because it seems like you'd look. Oh, I'm gonna make a sweet Lego cock and balls. You know, like a Lego Technics animated hula girl getting fucked by some dude. That's what I would make. In fact, that's the only thing I've ever made of Legos. My Lego room in my house is just a bunch of those. You're not even paying attention.
No, I'm not. I'm looking at minimumsafedistance.org.
Available online at minimumsafedistance.org.
Wow, he made this box? That's really cool. You can check out what I'm looking at minimumsafedistance.org.
Available on the internet at minimumsafedistance.org.
Wow, that's kind of crazy.
Rotting Flesh says, does the trophy case need the up-down arrows now that we can drag and drop them? They seem unsightly now. Well, they go away as soon as you start dragging and dropping. They're still useful for the blind. They're still useful for people who are using browsers that don't support the drag and drop. So that's going to stay. RDF writes, hey guys, love the show! Happened to notice today that Nerdcore Rising is available on DVD and streaming on Netflix. You should tell everyone to check it out, or I can do it. Hey everybody, check it out! That's what RDF says. I finally watched it, and I thought it was really good.
Yeah.
And Gabby's totally doing the music for our next game, and he's been working on it, and it's awesome.
It's really, really
it's
good.
Super fucking cool music.
I am really excited about our new game. I don't know when we're gonna be able to let people see it.
It's hard not to talk about it a lot because
because we don't want to build up people's expectations.
I know by saying, "Oh god, it's awesome! Oh god, the music is good! The music is literally going to make you have an orgasm every 5 seconds while you're playing," and that's just the music. It is going to ruin society when people figure out that they can put this on their iPods and just be creaming their jeans every few seconds all day every day. Everyone on Earth is going to die of protein loss. It's going to suck. It's really going to suck that we have created something that is so good that it destroys the world.
Yeah. Wow.
Our fledgling nation just cannot handle.
With great power comes great responsibility. Yep.
Hell Demon 1 says, a quick trivial update to make it seem like work is getting done is making the Mega Jam Adventure work. Oh, shit. We forgot what we were going to do.
No. I mean, I didn't forget.
Oh. What? We can't do it now.
Why can't we do it now?
Because it's rollover.
But why can't we do it?
No.
It's not like it requires anything other than
Right. You're right. I can push it out during the break.
Yeah.
In fact, let's take a break.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. Nothing exciting is
going
to happen.
Yeah, nothing's happening.
Yeah.
Nothing's going on.
Nope.
You know, I should have had some music
queued up.
Yep.
I could just hum. It's hard not to think of a song as soon as you start humming and then have that song come through. And I was just trying to sing, or just trying to hum random notes. Yeah. This is going nowhere, man.
Yeah.
I need you to save me. Quick. Cue something up.
Okay.
All right. We'll be back in a little bit.
What the hell? Why is this so hard?
This is good radio.
Yeah.
An astronaut I drive a saw. I found a tiny house and I can't help the way I feel. Oh yes, you can kick me, and you can punch me, and you can break my face, so that you won't change the way I feel. Cause I love you.
Not wrong, but I must start. How can someone
And we're back. Sorry, that took a little longer than I thought because of the slow. But woo, Traffic Trader, woo, yay, woo. This one's gonna sink a lot of wads. Yeah. Anyway, so that was a quick trivial update to make it seem like work is getting done.
That's not trivial though. That's an announcement.
Yep. Bigglesworth says, I know there are many different inventory options. I would like to suggest another. Sort weapons by handage. It would make selecting weapons for offhand items easier. Is it not?
What do you mean?
Can you not divide it up into one-handed and two-handed?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. You can definitely display handedness.
Huh. Does it not by default display handedness? That seems like a weird thing. I don't know. Tiny Plastic Yar says, you guys realize that Jake is level 13, right? Don't you guys have a problem with that? I was testing some content that required you to be level 10, 20, 12, 13s. See, I think of 13 and I think of 2012, because that's when everything is going to end, according to superstition.
According to superstition? This is science, man. This is ancient science.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Stupak2 says, what is up with the main stat requirement for the airship? It's a little too high to hit right at level 10 without buffing, actually. And our main stat requirements for zones... A little too high to hit at level 10 without buffing. Actually, our main stat requirements for zones necessary after your first ascension or two. That's a potentially interesting question. That is an interesting question, right? Like...
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, people... A lot of people in dev complain about it and say we should do away with it. Their complaint... by and large, is that it is really arbitrary, which I disagree with 100%. I do not believe that a stat requirement on entering a zone is any more or less arbitrary than a stat requirement for equipping a piece of gear or eating a piece of cheese. You know,
I don't feel like it is either. I like the need for like the stat requirement for the Naughty Sorceress was born of the way that fight worked, kind of. That fight has changed, so, you know, I don't know.
But, I mean, stat requirements on zones, like, basically is what he's talking about. I mean, that was a fundamental, everywhere. Yeah, all stat, like, you know, I feel like a lot of people would want us to get rid of all stat requirements on zones, because they're either a non-issue or they're annoying, right, but they don't really ever help anything.
Huh.
I don't know how important it is for balance either, right? Like, to me, it kind of made sense in the beginning, because this is a stat at which you will survive in here, right? Like, if your stats aren't high enough to win any fights as a new player, then we should keep you out. But I don't know. Should we?
I don't know.
You know, I guess when zones just unlocked based on their stats, right? Like, it was... What's sum up?
Does the new item work for real?
Huh.
That's with 3.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Is that working?
I don't know.
That is on live, by the way.
That really?
Yeah. you should really fix that.
Yeah. Well, let's play some...
we're going to play a little bit more music, because this is broken.
Play some music. Let's play 10,000%.
Yeah.
Well, let's just keep going through... Why am I so terrible at using a mouse? I tested this.
Yeah, but maybe something just didn't get pushed.
We'll be right back.
costs money. But she doesn't even like me. And I know because she said so. In the room downstairs, she sat and stared. In the room downstairs, she sat and stared. I'll never make that mistake again.
Hey, that was an exciting few minutes. I don't know what the fuck, man. I apparently fucked that up pretty bad.
Is it still not working quite right, I feel like?
Well, I think it is. Well, I don't know. You had 220 and got one.
And still do, yeah.
Yeah.
Math is hard.
It depends on... So what did you do? Did you buy a bunch of them and use them?
After, yeah. Does it...
Did you use it more than once?
No, you can only use it once a day.
Yeah. Did you like clear daily flags or something?
No. Does it? Is the effect going to be set when you?
Yeah. The effect is set when you jump in.
Oh. That's interesting.
Yeah. Well, it's a necessary evil.
Okay.
It had to be done because otherwise the effect has to constantly hit the clan flags table.
All right. Well, that
every
okay.
time. Yeah. So it is not ideal the way that it works. It's going to confuse me, but it'll stabilize. It'll.
Oh yeah.
You know, like eventually these will be less of a big deal. I'm kind of excited to see.
Yeah.
In fact, I think I'm going to track live for the rest of the show how many of these have been purchased.
Okay.
Because I think that's pretty cool.
So sorry, everybody, about the technical snafu on the technical snafu. And now you get to listen to Jick Tech.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry, I was still working with CD Moyer to get this thing
rectified.
I think I just made the same mistake. When I tested it, I made the same mistake that I did when I checked it again just now, because it was like, all right, somebody's got plus 10,000% to all stats on live, and I'm like, what the fuck? And I tried it, and mine were fine. Oh, my gosh. Well, it wouldn't be KOL if we didn't fuck everything up.
Yeah, that's true.
What am I looking for? I'm looking for a trend graph. And I'm looking for Trader 4414. 141,000. Wow. No. That's 4414 was the other thing?
Dude, I don't know.
No, 283,000 of them so far.
Cool.
290,000. Wow. That's a lot of wads. Cool. Yay, traveling trader. Do we have more questions? I think we have more questions.
We have tons of questions.
Yeah. We had some tweeters. RDFM says, hey, Jick, if one day you decide to quit and become an electrician, just remember, the National Electrical Code may be about 700 pages, but Table 310-16 has just about everything you need to know. And some electricians have even come from MIT. Well, at least one. Yeah. Xdanstick says, hey, guys, you know what? Jokes about the girl from Whole Foods perpetuate rape culture.
Does that mean that the player base is implicit?
Maybe, yeah. I guess that's what he says. The player base is an accessory to rape. A conspiracy to commit rape. I think you'd get raped because any sex that you had with a woman would clearly be against your will. Get it? Because you like dudes? You thought I was going a different direction with that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You thought that I was going to imply that you were a rapist, but no. I'm blaming the victim. Yeah, Tom Smizzle had asked if you've gotten anywhere on Forum Wars yet. I'm enjoying the new elemental mechanic quite a bit, but it feels like I need to grind more. I haven't had a chance to really play with it and really dig in. Foss97 says, I was wondering when you use a drum machine if you could have the chance to get holiday adventures like on the Feast of Boros, etc. No.
Like, at any time? Or on the Feast of Boros is what they're asking.
On the Feast of Boros, yeah. I think he means on the Feast of Boros or whatever. Like, and no, since you're not spending a turn in a zone, like, you don't find them in the Daily Dungeon either.
I see.
Until the Daily Dungeon becomes a zone. Although, that's potentially going to fuck up
some strategies.
We got to be careful with that, because it, you know, Feast of Boros monsters will, like, fuck up turn count and stuff, you know.
Oh, yeah, wow. So. We should potentially exclude them from certain places, maybe.
I don't know. Hoopity What What says, if you'd like time usage reports from Alliance from Hell, throw down the gauntlet, declare a royal decree, make us eat sand, or something. Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
Do it, hot stuff. Do it.
Cool.
Jowlin says, the iPad just needs integrated iChat and streaming music, I think, not really full multitasking.
I don't know about that. Like, I feel like the fact that, you, like, if it really is the same, where you can really only run one app that isn't, like, trusted at the same time, it's going to be really frustrating.
Yeah.
You know?
You don't think they'll start letting that happen?
I mean, the iPhone itself is capable of it. If you jailbreak it, it can totally multitask, and it's fine. Mm-hmm. So, I think it's a battery use issue, and I don't know. I feel like they might cripple it because they want to be able to claim these battery usage numbers, right?
Right.
Which sucks.
It bothers me that I can't listen to the iPod doesn't stream through Sword and Poker.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But that's Sword and Poker's
limitation. It's Sword and Poker's fault. Sword and Poker's fault. Sword Smoker Vault.
I tested out the multiplayer functionality of Sword and Poker, and it's kind of lame.
Is it?
Yeah. I don't exactly understand what's happening, because it starts off... So you are playing on the same iPod, like, sort of with the two ends of the screen or whatever, and it starts you with, like, one player's red, one player's blue, and then it says red player and blue player, and gives them both numbers, which I don't know if that is, like, the relative strength of their position or something. No idea.
Huh.
And then, like, you have the same number of hit points, but you each get one spell, and it's randomly chosen.
Wow, that sucks.
Yeah.
That is terrible.
Yeah. No idea why it is this way. It seems... And then you cannot exit back to the main menu without quitting the app.
Huh. Well.
Yeah. It is super weird.
Hastily added. Foss97 says, there's an app for that! You can get the free Lego photo app that will turn any photo into a Lego mosaic. That's cool. Yeah.
With, like, instructions, probably, too. Huh.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you wouldn't need instructions so much as, like, a picture. Right,
right, but, yeah. Yeah. They probably do make instructions just because that's, you know, their way.
Yeah. I wonder if that would be fun. I kind of don't think so. I kind of don't think it would be fun.
To build a mosaic.
To build the mosaic.
Probably not, yeah.
I wonder if you could build a mosaic of a tobacco mosaic virus. What's a mosaic virus?
I don't know. Is that something that really exists?
395,000.
Is that 100,000 in a week? Is that 100,000 in a week? In an hour? In a minute?
Yeah, I don't know how. In a week? Did you think that?
Yeah, it's a week.
Yeah, we're angry at the RPN parser. Friggin' xenophobe, man. Why did I... No, friggin' me. Why did I let him do that?
I don't know.
It seemed like a good idea. It didn't seem like a good idea. It seemed like a terrible idea at the time. Why did I let him do that? Anyway. Royal Tonberry says, do you think you might ever make pickpocket a permeable skill? No. No. No, no, no. Casey Wiederman says, the plexiglass pike wants so badly to be a club, Jake. Won't you hear its plea? Yeah. We had kind of an emo fight about it a while back. But I think I figured it out. I figured out how to do it.
What did you do?
It doesn't have to change anything, really. Linguini Lad says, I saw this, and it reminded me of when you, Jake, and Scully were talking about a wall vagina for dispensing soap. And it was it's apparently a Japanese thing where there was a fleshlight being used as a shower head, so it just looked like a giant blast of piss coming out of the shower head, out of a vagina. Although that's, I don't know, that's not where the piss comes out.
Out of a fleshlight?
Yeah, most women don't piss out of a fleshlight.
Really?
Yeah. That's weird. What the fuck, Japan?
Yeah, you know, I've just been seeing a bunch of stuff recently that makes me think, what is going on in Japan? Like, the reality show stuff?
Yeah, the video where this dude goes in for a job interview, and then some people come in and just shoot everyone in the room, and
except
he's just
him.
Fucking freaking out.
Yeah, and this is like some sort of like, haha, you're on candid camera thing, and like, I could imagine people actually dying of heart attacks from some of the stuff that they seem to be doing to these people.
Yeah.
And, like, Robert Ashley was telling us about another sort of show where they get these hot springs places. They would set up, like, a false floor and have people drop down into, like, some sort of warm water. But because you're at a hot springs, people are thinking that they have just fallen into, like, boiling water and they are cooking. And they're going to die, and so then they like jump out and like immediately like throw themselves on a pile of ice or whatever, and like it just sounds awful. It just sounds like cruel stuff.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine something like that. I guess we have like Fear Factor, which like people.
Is Fear Factor still on?
People voluntarily do that, right? Like they're not. It doesn't happen unexpectedly. It's not like candid camera situations, which I feel like that's the leap that really is kind of awful. It's like these people are just living their lives and get thrust into these situations which are just terrible. And then I wonder how long it's going to be before something like that happens in real life. Like there's someone's in a job interview and somebody comes in and starts shooting people and they think they're on this show, right? And they like they have to start some sort of like inverse reaction where they're like, ah, that's really funny or whatever. Meanwhile, people are getting shot all around them. Like, it's gonna happen, right?
I don't know.
Because, I mean, when something really weird happens, you're like, am I on candid camera? You think that. You think or say that. I do, right? Every now and then.
I don't know, man.
You don't think that ever?
No. I don't think I've ever had anything happen that I was like, what the fuck, is this some kind of show?
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
They call me a polo shirt because I'm being put on by an asshole.
Did you relate the story of me telling you about the at?
No. Yeah, I don't remember actually if this came up. So there's these things out in the there's these cranes, these like cargo cranes.
In the East Bay.
Giant things in the East Bay.
San Francisco.
And Hot Stuff was like, yeah, you know, when George Lucas was growing up here, he saw those things and that was the inspiration for AT-ATs. And I just didn't believe him because you just lied to me about so much shit. Then you taught me your frat trick. Which is,
oh, yeah.
if somebody tells you something...
Oh, man, you can't, you're like, you, wow.
Oh,
no,
really?
You can. I mean, this is just a powerful tool to, like, give to the world.
All right, so here's a rule. If you are the kind of people who are just going to make shit up all the time, there is, like, a safe word, right? And it's a funny joke that Hot Stuff and I have a safe word.
Yeah,
ha-ha. You say, pickles, and if they say pickles, then that means that they're telling the truth, and you're not allowed to violate that.
Yeah,
I think it's stupid. I think it's stupid that it's pickles. I hate it.
Whatever.
But I'm using it, and I've used it a number of times.
Yeah.
And I kind of wish that other people would obey that. There's no way Scully's gonna do it. He'll just fuck with me. Like,
oh, forever.
He doesn't do it on purpose. He says something that he's not trying to convince me is the truth. Like, he will just say something, and I am so gullible, and he is so just like deadpan when he makes these jokes sometimes. That
like,
it's an entirely different situation than with you. Although it's cool that so many of my good friends like just fucking lie to me all the time. Like I love
not,
you know.
It's not about important stuff usually, right?
Sure. I don't know, man. The kind of joke that just involves like lying and oh that's funny because not really, you know.
But you make up stuff for the sake of humor all the time. It's just, do you feel like because it's in your mind it's so obviously absurd that it doesn't count?
Yeah, that it's plausible. It's not like I'm, you know, your friend that you baked a cake on the mountain for. That is the fucking risk you run.
You've met her now.
Oh, shit, I have.
But like it wasn't.
All right, tell the story.
This is, yeah. I doubt she has or ever will hear this, but. Yeah, this is not something I would normally say on the radio. But I went hiking with a friend of mine. There were three of us. So there were, I guess, two friends of mine. And it was one of their birthdays. And we had... The two of us had brought a cake along. But we thought it would be funny if we sort of went off... Like, when we had stopped to eat lunch, we went off sort of at the beginning... off into sort of like the woods on the side of the meadow where we were eating lunch, and then after we ate lunch we went back off out there and brought back this cake with, you know, candles on it and stuff like that, and we told our other friend that we had baked it, that we had gotten a special like camping baking cake set thing and we built a little, like, you know, solar oven or whatever and baked it while we were on the mountain. And she believed us, and we felt kind of, because it was such an obviously ridiculous statement, we didn't think it would go over, and like she still tells people to this day how awesome her friends are that baked her a cake on the side of a mountain, and I just feel so guilty, and I just can't ever own up to it. Yeah, I'm an asshole.
You're not an asshole. I just feel
that's bad.
The risk you run when you lying to people is funny. Like when just like lying about things is something that you consider funny. And everybody does it. Like everybody does this, right? Like just putting a girl up to pretending that she likes a dude. Like, right? That is in my mind like the worst possible thing that you can do to somebody. Well, right.
Somebody who's already has like confidence
insecurity
issues,
about women, yeah. right, but like it is one of those things where like, you know what, this isn't funny, it's just lying, you're just lying to someone, you know, convincing somebody like, oh, I asked where the men's room was and they pointed to the women's room door and I didn't see the signs, so I tricked me into walking into the ladies room, like that isn't funny, right? Like just lying to somebody is not funny, I don't think, but
sure.
Clearly there are people who think that lying to people is funny.
Yeah, No, I mean you're right. You're right.
And you're a mean dick. You're a mean dick, jerk, butthole. That's what you are. And I'm just, I can never trust you. But now I have this tool at my disposal, and it'll be fine. Everything will be fine. 502,000.
Cool.
Yeah. I don't remember how many wads there were out there.
More than that.
Oh, certainly. Yeah. But I can't remember if it was in the millions or in the tens of millions.
Tens of millions.
It's in the tens of millions.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Josh the Sorcerer Man says, two words, black beans. Think about it, man. They could drop in the Black Forest and they could be like the Omni Bean for stat gains. So you have the hat rack for hats, the hand for weapons, but nothing for shields. I would like a spirit turtle familiar that possessed shields and allowed you to equip a shield for familiar equipment. That's kind of a clever idea, actually.
Yeah, neat.
I don't know if there are enough shields in the game, and I don't know if I want to make it so... Oh, sweet, now we have to do hat racks. I mean, we could just reuse the hat rack code.
Right.
Right. Although the power on shields is weird.
Yeah.
It's, like, different.
It'd be tricky.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
That's a pretty clever idea, though.
Spirit turtle. Yeah. We already have a... There's a ghost turtle item.
Oh, yeah.
That has never been released.
Hasn't it?
No. We did not put it in the release of the turtles.
Yeah. Smelly Old Person says, will you make it so that items and effects that restore HP at the end of combat adventures tell you at the end of the adventure how much HP or MP you regained? No. That would actually... The way that code is set up is old, and that would not work.
Huh.
Because they do it no matter where you spend adventures. right? So it's like in the code that adds or subtracts adventures.
Huh.
And it's not always executed in a place where it would make sense
to display.
Yeah. So it's problematic. You know, a game where every turn was a combat.
Right.
And events happened post-combat would be, like, I just kind of wish that that's how KOL was. We'd lose a lot of stuff, though, is the problem. I mean, I like the choice adventures. I like the some of the turns being special encounters where you get a choice.
Right.
But, like, I wish that that stuff was something that you got excited about as opposed to something where you're like, oh, fuck.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just that...
It uses such a precious resource.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Differences.
Yeah, if non-combats did not take turns, that would probably be a reasonable way of handling that in the future, and it's clearly not something we can do retroactively with KOL. But.
Right, because, I mean, you know, there are zones with just non-combats, right? So, like, there'd have to be some kind of limiting mechanism.
Right. Well, I mean, you would have structured it very differently. You wouldn't give the kinds of... You wouldn't structure zones to be just that.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have... Or if you did, they wouldn't give you anything meaningful like stats or items or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Darigna says, I'm in Aftercore and I just explored El Vibrato Island for the first time. I just wanted to say that I found this vector interesting and really enjoyable to play through. Thank you. Aw, oh, sweet.
That warms Jick's cockles.
I love El Vibrato.
That whole idea was pretty neat. The fact that nobody was sure that those pieces would ever come together, I thought was kind of interesting. Right?
Yeah.
Like, just letting the player base sort of decide whether or not they were going to do it was kind of cool.
Yeah. It didn't turn out the way that we expected it to. It was a little social awkwardness associated with the whole event.
Yeah, I mean, everybody who didn't get to be the one who combined them, I feel like probably felt a little shafted.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I feel bad about that, but...
And I still, you know, I just imagine a world in which it's Chunky Feces Island.
Were we committed to doing it?
No.
Naming it? Okay.
No. We didn't tell anybody we were going to do it.
Right.
Right. And it wasn't until it had just like it was a perfect name. 582,000! That Zand. Zand. You know what else I wish I had done?
What?
And if I ever make a KOL 2, totally doing this. Divided food and booze into breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Oh, yeah.
Items. It makes less sense with booze.
No, it doesn't.
There's mimosas. Yeah. And basically making it so you can only eat like 3 breakfast items, 3 lunch items, and 3 dinner items in a day or whatever.
Instead of having fullness and drunkenness on them?
Well, maybe you get 3 fullness worth of breakfast items, 3 fullness worth of lunch items, 3 fullness worth of dinner items. You can't go out of order. Like, once you've eaten lunch, you can't eat breakfast.
Huh.
Yeah. It would make it easier to add a lot more food and have a lot more ways in which food items could be better than other food items, because right now it's like every food or booze item we add is either the best thing ever or it's filler, right?
There's situational stuff. I mean, we started putting like effects on certain food items.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
It forces us to think of new ways to make things interesting.
Yeah, it does. I don't know about lunch booze, though. I mean, I guess you have martinis
for lunch.
The
thing is, you also have a lot of these things for dinner.
Yeah, but I mean, the joke is that, you know, martinis are just a lunch drink.
Okay.
And then, so then wine happens at dinner, breakfast. Right. So there's like Bloody Marys are breakfast drinks.
Right.
Mimosas.
Yeah.
I guess cheap beer.
Huh.
Breakfast beer. Yeah.
What other lunch drinks are there?
Just martinis.
That'd be kind of funny. It was just thousands of kinds of martinis.
Yeah. I don't know. Do people have tequila shots for lunch?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Mexican beer is good lunch beer. Mexican beer is good breakfast beer. Like, you know, sort of bottles of Corona.
Huh. I thought you weren't ever going to treat a hangover with.
I'm not, man.
The hair of that dog.
I'm not. As I was sort of lumbering around the kitchen last night, trying to just eat as much and drink as much water as I could to try and stop myself from being hungover, I was like, if I have to, tomorrow morning I am just going to do a shot of whiskey to try and treat this hangover if it is that bad. Like,
does that really work? Does that just,
I don't know,
solve the hangover problem?
I've been told that it helps,
huh?
Like greatly, that it is a, you know, I don't know. It's hard for me to imagine
that adding more alcohol to the system makes it better.
But I mean, well, partly it's you're getting withdrawal, right? Like, is what supposedly.
Oh, really? I didn't realize that. I thought it was like dehydration and whatnot.
Yeah, I don't know, but I feel like that is the day, that is like the first day of the
decline,
the end. Yeah, the beginning of the end. The first time I treat a hangover with alcohol is like
the Roman Empire.
I have got a problem at this point, because you know, I'm just terrified that it would work, and then like, because right now I don't think, oh well, it's okay for me to drink way too much tonight because I'll just treat my hangover tomorrow. And I'm not, I think I could have done it today and I would not feel like that, right? But would I feel like that after 10 drinks, right? Like, you know, it's a lot easier to decide, you know what, I didn't used to get to that point where being drunk made me want to drink more. It never used to happen to me. And like, it's just, I don't want to be at a bar. Like, I you know, it's mostly just like I want to hang out longer. But I don't want to be there without drinking, because that's boring.
Right? I just switch to water. If I feel myself getting really drunk most of the time, I switch to water. It's when I don't when I drink too fast and I don't feel it coming on that it's a problem.
Yeah. I used to switch to coffee a lot, but I always felt like I was bothering them
to make coffee.
Yeah, like, which they because they will always do it. Like, a bartender will almost always make coffee for you if you order it, but it's like a hassle.
It's in their best interest though, because they don't want people getting drunk and doing something stupid, because they are liable, you know? Like,
yeah. Balls were not marked public.
Oh.
I hadn't made my balls public yet.
But now they are swinging free.
Oh no, another putt says, will we ever be able to purchase a Mr. Exploiter again? Hell yeah! Hell yeah.
Hells yeah. Mr. Exploiter.
Yeah. King Stupid says, is the plan for all future Two Mystery Familiars to be seaworthy or only the frog and pig? Well, the pig isn't.
It's just the frog.
Yeah, it's just the frog, and it's like a special feature. And no, it is not. It is not the plan at all. The plan is to make any familiar that seems like it could breathe underwater able to breathe underwater, which I guess we kind of cheated with the frog because it seemed like such a good idea.
It's an amphibian.
I realized that frogs could not breathe underwater.
But they can spend a lot of time underwater.
Yeah. Could have been a tadpole. Could have been a dancing tadpole. That would have been even harder to draw.
It's true.
God damn, I hate drawing those things. Every year, it's like pulling teeth for everyone involved. Like, Mr. Skullhead is like, fuck! Yeah. You know?
Gotta come
having
up
to come up with the same
themes.
Fucking thing again. And then I'm like, God damn you for picking what this is. Like, how the fuck am I supposed to... And then you are like, I cannot believe you expect me to make a convincing animation for this thing out of the pieces that you've given me. I'm like, oh.
Like, fun for the whole family.
I wish that we had never started doing that. I wish that we had not started rotating those out. I don't know why we did. It doesn't even seem like something I would do. Right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a content vector. They're kind of neat and interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is kind of nuts.
Glebes writes, when listening to a new podcast for the first time, what order do you download them in? Chronological? Reverse chronological? Based on topic? It depends. The things that I have done that with recently, the things that I've actually gone and actually went deep into the archives of, is like...
Idle Thumbs.
Yeah, Idle Thumbs, Jordan Jesse Go, and Overthinking It. And I've taken sort of each one of those approaches, depending on the thing. Jordan Jesse Go, I've been listening to in reverse chronological order, because I just sort of go and like, if it's at night and I don't have anything novel to throw on, I will just go into iTunes and just run it directly from iTunes. just the I just scroll backwards until I see something that I haven't seen before. It's not that important that it be comprehensive, right? I don't need to listen to every Jordan Jesse Go. I'm just kind of, you know, I just kind of like the sound of their voices. Lulls me to sleep. Idle Thumbs, after I listened to the most recent three or four, I'm like, I'm starting at the beginning. So I just started at the beginning and listened to all of them in order. And I did that on like 2 or 3 weeks.
Wow. That is a lot of audio content.
So much of it. Yeah, I know. So good.
I'm still on like the 13th or 14th one. I'm doing it chronologically. I do pretty much all of them chronologically.
You know,
I get really frustrated when there are podcasts which don't have complete archives.
Yeah. Overthinking it, I just kind of pick and choose. Like, I'll every once in a while I'll be like, I want to listen to it. They release really regularly, and so I almost always have enough of it to keep me satisfied, right? Like, they are very good about releasing an episode on time. Like, they didn't break for Christmas. Like, Jordan Jesse Go, it's been like, I don't know, like,
weeks.
Yeah. It's been more than 2 weeks since the last one came out, and I'm like,
is there some way in iTunes for you to turn off the thing where it stops downloading additional episodes of podcasts that it doesn't think you've listened to in a while?
I have no idea, dude.
I mean, I know. I guess I'm asking.
You're
the
asking
audience.
The wrong dude.
I'm asking the listeners, because that is something that I find very frustrating. Because if you know, especially on trips like this where I don't have sort of a regular schedule to listen to podcasts, like just having to continually resubscribe to them. Driving me nuts.
I hate subscribing to them, because what it constantly does is if I'm using iTunes to subscribe to podcasts, every once in a while it'll just like, oh, I'm gonna erase everything on your iPod or on your iPhone, like, and replace it with the contents of the iTunes on the computer. And then like half the time I'll subscribe to one and go to unsubscribe and it just won't do anything. Like hitting the unsubscribe button just doesn't do anything. Like, I fucking hate iTunes, man. So yeah, that's the answer to that, Glebes. All of the above, depending. I feel like there's some other stuff. Like, Adam Carolla, I will listen to ones that are specifically recommended to me at this point. Like, if it's him and somebody that I've never heard of, I assume more often than not that it's, like, going to be something that I don't care about. Like, you know, it's like talking to you about cars a lot, or, like, sports, or whatever, right? And so, I'll, like, people that I like, I will listen to those. But it kind of sucks because they don't maintain a full archive of that on iTunes, and I kind of wish that I had them all. When I was listening to a lot of Loveline, which is not really a podcast, but it was something that I was going back through archives of, I would usually listen to, like, I would start at the beginning of a year and listen through the year, and then when I was done, I would start at the beginning of the previous year and listen through, which is a weird way of doing it.
Stepwise reverse chronological. Yeah.
So like a memento kind of situation.
Yeah.
Very slow. You know, memento only. Each phase was thousands of hours.
it was interesting talking to Robert Ashley today when he wasn't even aware that we'd do a radio show / podcast thing. And like, yeah, we have 5 years worth of 4 hours a week of audio content. If you need, you know, some more sound bites.
Yeah.
That would drive him nuts, I think, if he actually decided that he wanted to pick up some audio from that, because if he's already a perfectionist and, you know, listens to everything and then chops it up or whatever, he would never finish that.
Yeah, and I think it'd be too low quality to actually use for anything anyway.
I have no idea.
I'm curious what we sounded like on there. I feel like I kind of fucked my voice up smoking last night and drinking a lot.
Yeah, but it'll make it sound earthier.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Little gravelier. I like it. I like this voice. I like it when my voice does the little gravelly deep thing, but I don't like feeling like shit.
His voice sounds the same in person as it does on the podcast. It's cool.
I think that is true of everybody though, right?
My voice doesn't sound the same in person as it does on the podcast.
Well, not to you. It does on the...
What?
That's what I'm saying, right? Yeah. Zim says, when you log in and read, you have a message from name of player. Could that text include a link to the new message, not to the sender's user profile? I think it has both, right?
Yeah, they're, like, both, the word in, message. They're both in there, yeah. There's something that I would actually like is, there's a new announcement in your clan hall. I'd like that to link to your clan hall.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty trivial to do. Remind me of that. I'll just do it.
Okay. Should I put it in the...
845,000...
Oh, since you put it in the mall.
Balls, yeah.
Yeah, that opened up the market quite a bit, I bet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn!
It's cool.
Yeah.
Go Wild Sync. Go Wild Sync. Go Wild Sync.
This thing does not give good averages on a thing that only happens on one day.
Sure.
It just divides it by two for some reason. Oh, look, I've even tracked how many seal tooths were purchased. 250. Because now the trader always exists on Dev, and he's always selling seal teeth.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. That is one of the things that you can do on the Dev server. This is one of the privileges of the elite, is that you can buy... That used to be you could trade 1,000 of anything for a seal clubbing club.
Right.
You could do that on live, too.
Yeah.
That was pretty awesome.
When people found that script.
Found the monkey. Because it's natural that you would type monkey.php if you had, you know, just anywhere that you can type something. I almost always want to type monkey.php.
I found the arena one. It was half finished.
Right.
And that was allowed me to do all sorts of crazy stuff early on.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Was the arena when it was for familiars, or was it back in the day when you could just fight monsters with an arbitrary power level?
It was when it was for familiars. I thought it was the old school arena that you had just like left deprecated somewhere, but it was something that you had just started working on and had not finished.
Yeah, the arena was there to test the actual combat system. Like the game went through multiple iterations of a combat system. Right, there was a combat system before it was interactive. I feel like this was pretty early. Like, the insight that I could have multi-round combats instead of just, like, a page load, like, fucking Legends of Goddamn fucking Zork. That was how the fights were going to be. And then I was like, this is fucking terrible.
Yeah?
Yeah. So, it didn't last very long. But the arena was the place that you were just fighting, like, different sized goblins, but I never really finished it. I put it out there before it was done, I think. And I probably PyMonkey did some crazy shit with it. It's been weird doing all this, like, thinking about the old days.
Yeah.
On that note, weird thinking about the old days. Leave you guys in the lovely hands of lovely Amplitude. I almost called Amplitude Aerosmith. Why?
That's weird.
Why would I think somebody's name was Aerosmith?
Were you looking at your music collection or something?
No. No, I don't even have any Aerosmith.
Huh.
Yeah. You know, haven't heard this in a while. So, we'll see you back in Phoenix.
Notice me, I'm up on him, he up on me, don't pay him any attention.
would be